It's 88.5 FM, Sky Daniels. Happy to welcome Noah Gunderson. You know, we've been pretty excited about White Noise, so we're really glad you were able to come out today.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Forging a career in music now is not a snap of the fingers.
Yeah.
And you apparently sat down when you started to make this record with an almost cleaning of the slate going, all right, I'm going to do this the way I need it to be.
Yeah. I mean, the work that I was making just wasn't me anymore. And I mean, I started writing songs when I was like 13 years old. And, you know, I've had a lot of practice and I kind of got used to writing a certain kind of music. But it just wasn't. I didn't recognize myself in the mirror of my art, which was terrifying because I didn't really know, you know, I kind of had a sense of all these things that I liked and what I was into as far as music, but it's a really broad palette. And so I was like, well, what is me now? Because it's easy for me to just fall back on this singer-songwriter thing. I can play those cowboy chords all day and write Ryan Adams ripoff songs as you know, all day. But I would just want to kill myself. And so we canceled the second leg of the Carry the Ghost tour. I just didn't want to do it.
But that takes a real assertion of shall we say self-discovery and you know, that is not something you do randomly.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the same time, though, I think it comes from the same part of my brain where I was dropped as a kid, where like I don't care about, you know, people knowing what's going on inside of me. It's like I have to live with myself,
right?
And I don't want to go out and play these songs on tour. So, you know, we're just not going to do it. And I didn't think that much about it. In hindsight, it is like, oh yeah, that's kind of like a thing. But it was a moment of. I played a show and I sat down. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And then, so I spent a lot of time waking up every morning and just sitting at my piano. And I wrote on piano instead of guitar because it felt like that was important to change my paradigm. And I would just sit there. And some days it would just be me just sitting there. And then other days stuff would happen and I would rewrite stuff and then I would take bike rides and listen to demos, and which is a process I'd never had the patience for before. But I think having that sense of, you know, I don't have any other backup plan. Like if I don't play music for a living, I'm going to work at a gas station. Hopefully, or not have a job at all.
Right.
And so like, I got to figure this out. Because I want to enjoy this, even though there are parts of this job that we all don't enjoy, and that's fine. But like, I want to feel like I'm expressing myself accurately.
Yeah. the whole room spin. Set it up.
Once had a conversation with Jackson Browne about the very early on in his career. I assume that he had a certain fluency that, well, I sit down at a piano and I work on this chord structure, and eventually he goes, no. He goes, you're just trying.
Yeah.
You're trying
forever.
And finally something clicks.
Yeah.
And but it is beating. You catch it.
Yeah. It is like a lot of just like, it's showing up. It's just doing the thing, and then, I mean, making art is such a romanticized thing, and I think that's such crap, because it gives, like, I think especially young artists, it gives young artists this impression that if it doesn't just come to them, then they're not worthy or something, which is really unfortunate. And I think, I try to encourage young artists that it's like, it's just like any other job, that it takes work.
If you want to get better at it, if you work at it.
Yeah, totally. And there's going to be times where it's really hard and other times where it's really fruitful. And, there's no, you know, it is a magical thing for sure, but there's a lot of just, you know, bare knuckled beating your fists against the wall.
I guess I would assume that it's been a great support system, and that your sister Abby, mm-hmm, and you used to perform together, and now Jonathan also.
Yeah.
So I would assume that having family members like that, even in the most trying of times or the most desolate tour stop, that's there.
Yeah, and it's also, in a way, it's also a motivator to, especially with Abby, because it's a motivator to make the thing all work better, because I've got my little sister on tour with me and I can't just be a wreck of a human being. I actually have to like sort of keep my act together and make touring eventually easier and easier so that my little sister doesn't have to like sleep in a college dorm with like 8 smelly dudes. Like that's been part of the driving force, is like, you know, these people are supporting me. How can I make this whole thing easier for them?
Woman, I can't please you. I will only leave you. Sure as the night follows. If you start to wonder if you spell on under, honey, you should run the other way.
There's this sense of simpatico in terms of a certain intensity in Phoebe Bridgers' writing and your writing. Have you, as you've gone on the road, or have you seen that kindred spirit kind of thing?
Well, when I was kind of telling you earlier, like, she ran merch for me at a show at El Rey, like, forever ago, and like 2013, and then we had done some stuff together for Sons of Anarchy. She had sang on a song that so I was aware that she was a songwriter, but wasn't really hip to what she was doing. And then she came to, I have another band called Young in the City, and she came to one of those band's show in LA, posted an Instagram video, tagged me. I went to, was like, oh, nice. Phoebe was there. Went to her thing, like, what's she up to these days? Found that song, and I just like was in shock. And I sat
there. This was a girl who did merch for me?
And I listened to it like three or four times, and I was like, this is better than anything I've ever made. Yeah. And I sent her a message, and I was like, yo, this is like incredible. I think I told her this is better than anything I've ever made. And she sent a really sweet note back, which, like, this isn't to pat myself on the back at all, but she was like, you know, your work has been influential on mine. And to me, that was just such a flattering and humbling thing to be a part of this ever-evolving, ever-changing thing, which is the musical tradition.
Yeah.
And to know that this thing that I think is so much better than what I've ever made, I in some way played a role in.
daddy's gone and gone. He's gonna hurt someone. Trying to overcome in fear and loathing. He got fall down drunk. Trying to fill his cup. More goes down than up. In fear and loathing. No one gets a break in this. Closing all the local joints down. There's nothing left for us here now. In fear and loathing. Mama got knocked. Said she fell in love in fear and loathing. No one gets a break in this town. They're closing all the local joints down. Nothing changes much. The quarterback's a drunk. The prom queen just gave up in fear and
it is, as the great writer from the Seattle Times, Owen, wrote, a salvo against the notion that rock music simply isn't made anymore. If that sounds like something that you might be interested in, tomorrow night at the El Rey, Phoebe Bridgers is supporting and Noah Gunderson is headlining. The album is White Noise. The artist is Noah Gunderson, and we thank you for making the drive out to our studios, and more to come, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
It's 88.5 with Noah Gunderson live.